Yo.
Hey.
Can you hear me?
You listening to
Hashtag. W-A-W. What a week.
Yeah, yo.
What a week.
Week.
Welcome to Wow, What a Week. When you look around our set, you'll see a wide range of things, from bright colors, screens, mugs, microphones. What you won't see, however, are stickers limiting entry or viewership. The only thing we probably wouldn't welcome are closed minds. So open your mind. So with that out of the way, welcome back to Wow, What a Week.
This is
What a week.
What a week. You can't make this shit up.
Our comedian guest is in the building. Someone once said that nothing is certain except death and taxes. But he didn't say anything about finding humor in things wherever you can. Our next guest is someone who knows about laughing while not forgetting to pay his taxes too. You go, boy. Please give a warm welcome to comedian Thabiso Mshlongo, depending on which side of the river you grew up.
The white people say Mshlongo.
And then you're like, looking in your pants, are like, no, not quite.
It puts me under pressure. Because I'm like, oh, no, don't do that.
They expect you to be shlonging. Tubbs, welcome, my dude.
Thank you, man. Thank you for having me. Yo, it's such a pleasure to be here.
You're in an elevator with a five-year-old. Uncle, what do you do? What's your elevator pitch to a five-year-old in 30 seconds? Who are you? What do you do?
I make people happy with my words.
Jeez, okay. You're a mother.
No, mothers lie to make people happy. Me, I don't lie. I tell the truth most of the time. Okay. But yeah. I make people happy with my words. And I tell jokes. That's as simple as it can be, yeah.
In fact, speaking of lies, one of the big stories this week is Dr. Lani, Dr. Matthew, ooh, depending on which of two you've experienced. What's the longest lie you've maintained? Before we get into Dr. Lani, I'm sure he'd love that.
The longest lie I've maintained is probably ever since I broke up with my baby mama.
How long ago was this?
This is like what? 6 years ago.
So you're Will Smith.
Yo, that guy's going through everything, guys. You thought Hancock was drinking because he's just a black superhero? No. He's got house problems, that guy. What in the world is that about?
Yeah, but we'll get that. Let's talk about your lie first. So,
yeah, my lie.
You broke up with a baby mama, what, six?
6 years ago, yeah. Okay. Roughly 6 years ago.
Why did you guys break up? What did you do?
I didn't do anything. No one did anything. It was literally one of those situations where, hey man, I'm trying to pursue this thing.
Yeah.
And this can't be the boyfriend pursuing this thing.
Oh.
You know what I'm saying?
I hear you.
Yeah.
Your hustle didn't make sense to her.
Yeah. Also, it didn't make sense to me to be with her while putting her through all of that.
But isn't that why you get a partner? Someone who can hold your hand through your hustle?
Yes, but if the hustle is rough, you know.
But how rough can it be? You're not a Navy SEAL.
No, but this is the beginning. This is like not when you are invited to Wow, What a Week. This is, you know, you're doing.
Wow, what an empty fridge. Yeah. So those stages.
This is I'm back from work and you've been writing jokes the whole day.
Yeah.
Where are you going to perform? You don't even have a stage to perform, but one day is one.
And then you're like, listen, let me knock you up. How's that for production?
Oh. You know too much. That's the problem. You know way too much.
You thought a baby would fix everything.
No, that was... Okay, you're saying it now and she's going to think, no, that's not... The baby was love. The baby was purely... But after that, it was like, man, this can't be a struggling father trying to tell jokes, you know?
Oh, no, I hear you.
Yeah,
hear
it's got to be a guy.
But you still use the fact that you have a baby mama as an excuse to whom, though?
No, I don't.
Yeah.
So ever since I broke up with her, every time I meet with a person that I like, to give myself enough time to determine if this is going to be a real relationship or not, I tell them I am in a relationship. Yes.
So you're a guy, basically.
I'm just a random dude. Just a random guy.
You're just guying.
No, that's the longest lie I've ever told. Yeah, I think that is Yeah, the other ones are still ongoing, so I can't really, you know.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, because then it won't be a lie anymore.
I remember in primary school,
yeah,
went on holiday with the folks, but we didn't really go on holiday. We went to the village.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But because, you know, after holidays, you must tell your friends what your holiday was like. So I told my friends that I met triplets that I was now dating.
Oh, my God.
This is in grade 4. I maintained that lie until grade 7. Every holiday, I tell them that, yeah, I know, you know.
Right. Because I guess it's a lie back then. At this point, anyone would believe that, yeah, fresh triplets, I mean, yeah. But back then, it was a, it's also a primary school lie.
Are you saying I could bag triplets?
Now.
You give me too much credit, eh?
Man.
Eh?
All you got to say is, oh, shit.
Hey, man. Cabin for four.
All you got to say is, oh, shit, girl.
Go to oship.co.za. There's still a handful of cabins remaining if you'd like to cruise with us the first weekend of December. It's going to be an incredible, incredible cruise. You've done oship before?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That was my first time on a ship, by the way. Shout out to you for bringing me on. That was so dope. It was my first time on a cruise ship. First time on the sea.
For people that have never been on O-Ship, why should they go on that cruise?
You need to go on that cruise to... You know how sometimes fancy things seem like they're far away?
Oh, yeah.
They seem like you got to spend this much
basically
money.
Basically, it seems like that's white folks stuff.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So most of the time you think, it's not for me.
It's out of reach.
Yeah.
Yeah,
also,
yeah,
when you see promos and stuff, I mean, it's fresh, it's euphoric. You go, yo, that's for celebrities, dog.
Yes, I can't mingle there.
And then when you get there, the people you meet even, you're like, oh, snap, people plan the whole year for this.
People make matching outfits for this cruise.
Dude, it's incredible to see because you go, oh, it is possible. Yeah. It's just, I never thought about the part where you can actually plan, budget the whole year and whatever.
Absolutely.
And you can pull up. Some people don't even have to budget. Some people just bonus and then...
And then you're done. You're sorted.
Baby.
So this Dr. Lani, Dr. Matthew dude...
Yeah.
Says, did he say I think he skipped 2 or 3 grades in school?
Yeah.
And he didn't get a matric. He got a certificate because he did a Cambridge or O-levels or something.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden he was a doctor. And I mean, he's very popular on TikTok, over 200,000 followers.
Yeah.
But for me, the first time I knew this doesn't make sense was when he was doing a TikTok video with his stethoscope on, but it's in his ears. I'm like, no doctor does that.
It's such a small thing, but it's such a weird thing to do because you go, what?
No doctor walks around with a stethoscope in his ears, like the flipping earbuds.
It's not
unless it's
earphones.
A patient. It's like walking around with a tongue depressor, Jay, because I'm a doctor. That time it's an ice cream stick.
I knew that guy was lying when he mentioned that he skipped certain grades.
Yeah.
I'm like, children who are smart in school don't say skip.
Yeah.
I got promoted.
Sure.
Skip means you didn't attend.
Skip means...
You didn't show up for the thing.
No, skip means, oh, he was in the playground and that's when we knew he was gay because you were skipping along. That's the skip that applies to him. He was going, la, 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 and he's not a Smurf.
Yeah.
that's when we knew.
But here's my problem, though.
Yeah.
The reason the whole uproar happened was because of TikToks.
Sure.
And it's not because of malpractice.
That's the problem.
You know what I'm saying? That means this guy was healing folks out there.
But was he healing folks, though?
I don't know what he was doing, but he was doing it well because it was working, right?
There's a story of a young nurse, I think, in Mpumalanga, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, Noms, I know her. She...
The one who was fired?
Oh, no, I thought, no, oh, sorry.
Oh, no.
Hey.
My man, zip up your pants. We don't want to see your stethoscope now. It's like, no, I'm sorry, come here.
Hey, she was fired.
No, there's a doctor, a nurse,
mm-hmm.
who apparently wanted to call him out on his bullshit.
Oh, yeah.
Allegedly. And she was sued and he won. But wild. Nobody thought to look and see if this guy indeed is a doctor.
Yeah, man. It's also, like, it's such a weird story, man. Because also, with so much that's happening in the country, with so many answers that we need,
yeah,
all these official institutions and government officials and whatnot are taking their time out to just say, we don't know this person. And I'm like, yo, these people are giving this person too much attention.
In fact, we should just all move on with our lives. And if he needs to be arrested, let him be arrested. If he needs let him do time. But let's keep it moving.
But now there's vets saying this, there's government officials saying this, you're like, whoa. If this guy really is a liar and is not that important,
did Umalusi also not say he doesn't have a matric?
Yes.
But he's never claimed a matric, though. Remember?
But now they're just jumping in to compound.
Because everyone is talking.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure someone at Spare is going to say, we didn't sing happy birthday for him. Because everyone wants to comment now.
Well, he's talking about he was 24. No, he came here when he was 21. That's 2002. He was 21. It's such a strange, like, situation. Because I'm like, okay, he lied, yeah. And then what's up with everyone, though? What's up with everyone just jumping up and, yo, we don't know this person.
You know what it is also? Because we are quick to generally believe people who claim authority.
Mm.
I mean, even with Dr. Paolo Jordan, because he was called Dr. Paolo Jordan, we all assumed he was a doctor.
Yeah.
Gandhi is just a name from Kostragiling.
Uh-huh.
People who, you'd call him that. It's almost like when people call you something, but you don't stop them.
You just let it happen.
But you didn't claim it.
Yeah.
Is what I suspect happened there.
So he just went with
it. You know what I mean? But it shows you that we're quick to believe anyone that seems to speak good English. Maybe that's the word. So if someone spoke horrible English, but were on social media giving advice, we'll probably think, are they really a doctor?
Yeah.
Based on the English, not necessarily based on what they're saying.
Yeah, of course.
So for instance, with Dr. Lani, majority of the stuff he was talking about, if you did a Google search, you'd see that he was reading a Google search.
Oh, snap.
He'd Googled some of the things he was talking about. And you can see it.
But
English is such high currency, we think because he speaks well,
then he must be a doctor.
Yeah. He must be a doctor. And that is the problem. And I think it's actually showcasing exactly that.
Mm.
That generally we give English such...
I mean, yes, I will give it
that
so much
anyone
power.
Who speaks English, they must be qualified.
Yeah, it's true. I've seen it even with, like, parents, mothers.
Yeah.
When with the newborn babies, they like to do that whole thing. Oh, my child is smart. She knows English. And you are there like, but that's a he.
Yeah.
So if you don't know English, how can the child know English? You are playing games with us. You know what I'm saying? But we've seen it. People do that. It's almost like English is not a measure of intelligence.
It's not. It's just a language. It's just a language.
We treat it like that. I mean, if you went to a doctor and he said in a proper English way, like, oh, right, so I'm going to snip the pancreas and then you'll be fine after that. You'll be like, this guy knows what he's doing.
Exactly.
Mara, if you went to the same doctor and he was like, okay, pancreas, chop, you'd be like,
But he was top of his medicine year.
But it reassures you, dog. It reassures you, like, oh, man, this person knows what they're talking about. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It kind of helps. I don't know. We shouldn't.
But we do.
We do.
In fact, you remind me of the new census results out.
Yeah.
And it seems like English is now is it the fifth most spoken home language in the country?
Really?
Yes, Sepedi has bypassed English.
Oh, wow.
I think Sepedi is the fourth most spoken home language now, if I'm not mistaken.
Bumma.
Which is a good thing, because then it means we're speaking less English at home, which I believe should be the case.
Maybe it's because I'm from Barberton.
Yes.
Right? I'm from Barberton, very small town. Ekaya.
Yeah.
Besingakhulumi English.
Yeah.
Sikhuluma Siswati every day.
Absolutely.
It would even get to a point where the parents would question. I mean, you had English and you never speak English with us. And I'm like, you know, Amara Skulma sort, Siavana.
Yes.
But I don't know if the rest of the country was always different with like being English, with English being spoken at home.
It's wild that for some families, they take pride in the fact that the child only speaks English.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That it's some sort of achievement that my child only speaks English. Yeah. I mean, with our kids, whenever they got to nursery school, they got to nursery school speaking zero English.
Yeah.
They only spoke Setswana and Sepedi. Nothing else. Because kids learn fast. They'll get to the English eventually.
They latch on, yeah.
They latch on to the English very, 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 very fast. That's the word of the day, latch.
Latch.
Yeah? It's showing us that.
It's a hoa.
and it's unfortunate that we... And for some people, actually, they don't give a fuck whether my kid can speak my home language or not,
yeah.
For me, it's everything. And I think we need to all guard our languages as jealously as Afrikaans people guard Afrikaans.
That's supposed to be.
Afrikaans people are very jealous of Afrikaans, and they will fight for it. But would your average person be willing to fight for the language?
I don't think so, man.
I mean, the primary school my 8-year-old, Lifika, is at, we chose that school for him. Because it was the only primary school that was offering Setswana at primary level.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Everything else is either isiZulu or Afrikaans.
Dude.
Only Afrikaans or isiZulu.
It's such a weird thing.
It's
right?
The weirdest thing.
Because these are languages.
It's almost 30 years of independence, but we're still being told capacity, capacity, capacity. What? You've had 30 years to ensure that kids can learn any language in their home language. But we're still not providing for that. That's tragic.
Right. It goes back to even the similar topic you had with Tats.
Yeah.
But the whole thing, because that breeds a world of, out of this situation, we can't have an industry based on this language. We can't have artists based on this language. We can't have this and that. So it just, it stems from that. And it seems like such a futile thing. To just say, tell your child to speak your home language. But in reality, it makes such a huge difference. All the kids sound cute when they know English, when they're tiny and whatnot. But all the adults who don't know their home languages, they're the worst people you can ever encounter.
It's dude.
Because you go, what? Only English.
And that is why we need to push back even from the schools where you're told... You only speak English in school. Even in the playground.
Yeah.
The offices and workplaces where you're told you don't speak Bantu here.
Yeah.
You only speak English.
With a subtle.
And it almost sounds like they're afraid that the natives might talk about us behind our backs.
Yeah, because they can't hear.
That's what it smells like. And for me, we need to guard against that. We need to fight against that and say that we're in Africa here. You should be speaking like us, not us thinking we've achieved something speaking like you.
Exactly. But you see where it gets to. Now, every black person who speaks English is just normal.
Yeah.
Oh, you know a language. For every little, or not every little, but for every one white person who says Sanibonani, you got to be the mayor of Durban.
It's like, yeah, give them, they can keep the land. They can keep the land.
They dance. It stems from that. Because when they do the bare minimum, you celebrate.
It's like, yeah, li, 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 li. Keep the land. Keep the land. You dance amapiano. Dude, keep the land.
I've seen so many whack white TikTokers. And I'm like, really? Really? I can do better than that? But when I do it, I'm compared to who?
Yeah.
The big guns, the best dancers in the world. And you're like, but this guy, Maria Zam,
No. The bar is the bar.
It should
the
be.
The bar is the bar.
It should be the bar.
And the bare minimum can't be celebrated. We expect the bare minimum.
Yeah.
We expect the bare minimum. We expect you to be a part of the community within which you live. Make an effort.
In South Africa, if you're South African and you can speak one of the official languages other than English, it shouldn't be a celebration.
It's not a big deal.
You just know one of your local languages.
Yeah.
That's what it is. But I know this personally from stand-up. You watch a guy like who's not of color coming to a black audience and destroy only because there's one or two Vernac words in there.
Yeah.
And people lose their minds.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. He said, hola hater. Like, no one says that anymore.
Dude, Minister Trevor Manuel would give his speech and greet us in 9 languages and we'd fucking lose our minds. Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's a very neat trick. It's a very neat trick.
Someone probably wrote those for him. Like, come on.
And it's not fair for the rest of us who operate using foreign languages.
Yeah.
But no one celebrates it. It's just there, you know.
Another thing from Census 2022 is South Africans are increasingly shying away from marriage, believe it or not.
Yeah?
Yes. Less and less South Africans are getting married, according to the new census.
Makes sense.
And based on how Jada has been treating Will Smith, can you blame them? Because a lot of, especially South Africans who are Will Smith fans and Jada fans, have seen them as this perfect couple.
Yeah, we were all duped, eh?
As this perfect couple.
Before social media, that's the thing. Before social media, we thought those guys were perfect, right?
Yeah.
And then they started having red table talks and we're like, hey, that house.
So Jada Pinkett told People magazine that she and Will have been separated since 2016.
My brother.
It's been over since 2016. And when you look back at that red table where they spoke about August Alsina and the entanglement, now that I think back to it, Will looked like he was speaking to his ex.
Nah.
You know where you are looking for answers from your ex?
Closure.
That, you know, almost like Tao did with Karabaso. How many times? How many times? Three. I was waiting for Will Smith to do that to the table. Yo. Entanglement. That's what I was waiting for.
I don't think I'd ever ask. Hey.
You don't want to know?
Dude. Let it go, man. You'd have, okay, sharp.
But at 2 in the morning, you're going to be wondering, I wonder how many times it was.
Dude, and it's your wife at that time, whatever. I struggle with getting back with an ex. Have you ever gotten back with an ex?
Oh, so reunited. So reunited doesn't work for you.
No, bro. Because sometimes you get back to an ex and they know something that they didn't know before you guys broke up.
Also, they come differently.
Yeah, now all of like before you broke up, they never liked they never oral.
Came, they never came like that.
Yeah.
You're like, what
now,
did
all of a sudden, you're like, who taught you these things?
Like why are you writing me like that? You never used to do that.
Now all of a sudden, call me dad, him now. What's up, because you never used to speak. You know what I'm saying? You like it. I like it, but who taught you this? So it's tricky. It's tricky. Now imagine it's your now you want to know what. No. Because it does look like he was talking to his ex, but it also feels like.
He also looked hurt, though.
He was.
Like
he was red eyed the whole time.
He looked defeated. But he also looked like he was forced to get into the conversation.
Yeah.
Which then brings us to the question, did he eat something that now he needs to go to a traditional healer to expel? No, because that's whipped behavior, dog.
Hey, certain women can do that, man. There are women out there who are that powerful.
Yeah.
Who can control a guy and make him seem like, you know when they say behind a great guy there's a woman or whatever.
Great woman, yes.
And you're like, yeah, it's puppet things, eh?
Yeah.
There's a woman going, hey.
Which then brings us to the slap, though.
So why are you
saying keep my wife's name out of your mouth if it's not your wife anymore?
It makes it so much more embarrassing. Because now they've broken up in the car. So why would you call me a wife in front of all those people?
And
it's not. Oh, my gosh.
And she
Chris.
Told. In fact, Jada told People magazine that she thought it was a skit.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because she's like, she said to herself, there's no way he hit him. She thought it was a skit.
Nah.
The whole time.
This woman is a gaslighter, bro. She's just gaslighting the whole situation. She knew what she was doing. She knew what she was doing. She probably coerced Will into doing the red table talk.
Yeah.
Come on, Will. What are you afraid of? Come on.
So, question. You speak about breaking up with your baby mama.
Yeah.
How would you feel if you've broken up with your baby mama?
Uh-huh.
And Tats and Cons or any of the other comedians ask her out? How would you feel about that? Is there bro code when it comes to that?
I think there is.
Yeah.
Look, it would depend.
On what?
On if it's real
you,
or what.
You sound like you're about to say, if it's Trevor, it's okay, but if it's Kumba, it's not.
No.
at least you'll have a rich stepfather. Yeah.
Look, if it's someone who can put me on, you know, then we can talk about it. We're a family. Like we're a family. We're raising a child together, it's brother.
Like, baby, put your back into it, okay? Yeah. There's a bag here.
No. Hey, I don't know, man. I'm very...
Should there be a bro code?
There should be. I personally, I don't know about other comedians, but I know comedians are the same, bro. We all wanna do great things.
Yeah.
But we don't wanna see someone do what we've done.
Okay.
So even if I sell out Madison Square Garden,
sure.
If the next guy does it, I'll say congratulations, but I'll be slightly pissed.
It'll hurt a bit.
Why couldn't you just go to
Orlando
Market
Stadium.
Theater.
Yeah, go to Orlando Stadium. Yeah. Why you know,
why
Square?
Would you wanna?
I've done Madison Square already.
Yeah, so it's like a, I would have that thing of, hey, dog. If they love each other, I guess, but I would be terrible in that relationship. I would be a thorn in that relationship. I would try my best every day to mess it up.
Oh wow.
Yeah. No lies.
Let me tell you why I'm asking and why maybe the slap happened.
Yeah.
So Jada says Chris Rock asked her out one summer amid divorce rumors. Yes. That's what she told People magazine. She says he called me and basically said, I'd like to take you out. And she says she told him, what do you mean? He was like, well, aren't you and Will getting a divorce? Where's the bro code here? And I was like, no, Chris, those are just rumors. He was appalled and he profusely apologized. And that was that. Why are you asking my wife out?
Also, I don't know if that sounds
divorce
real,
rumors.
Though. So Chris called her, hey, you wanna go out?
Yeah.
Damn.
I heard you're getting divorced.
Yeah, just like that. Like, I heard you're getting a divorce, you wanna go out?
I don't understand.
Right.
Where's the bro code?
Oof.
Or is it true that no one belongs to anyone? It's just your turn.
No. Jada belongs to Tupac. That's, we all know that.
Also, it was just Will's turn.
Yeah. It was Will's turn. She belongs to Tupac. She's always belonged to Tupac. She probably knows who shot Tupac. She's quiet about it. But, yo, there should be a bro code, right? There should be a...
I'm so confused.
But also, I mean, we can talk about bro code and whatnot. Almost every guy has had a moment where they, well, I shouldn't, but hey.
So are you
throwing it my way?
So the bottom line, though, then generally, is whomever you are with right now, chances are one or two of your boys will hit it the minute they get a chance.
So this is how I look at it, right?
Yeah.
It's not linear
in
terms of time.
Sure.
So... if I meet a girl and we do whatever,
sure.
She's probably met other guys.
Sure.
It might be possible that 10 years from now, I'll meet guys she met before me.
Sure.
And then we become friends or whatever. So I look at it in that sense.
Okay.
Like, you can't really, you know, go wild over it. It hurts, though, when it's a guy you know and then he's aware of everything.
And a guy who might be in your circles.
Yes. And they're aware, though, that this is how it's happening. These guys are breaking up.
In fact, it happened to a friend of mine just literally 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah.
That the ink had not hardly dried up on the divorce decree, and his friends were already asking out.
I don't know if I'm going off topic or what, but
no,
I think it's still within. Yeah. So I like on social media. I saw Dr. Musa and Liesl.
And Liesl, yes.
And how he's always showering her with love and all that.
Yes.
I'm like, this guy loves her. It's beautiful to see.
Yes.
But I'm also going, when she was with dude.
Who, Proverb?
Yes. Was he able to? Because that's the kind of love you go, no one is able to hide this kind of thing.
Okay.
it's he always wants to express it, to show it. So when she was
but
with
why Proverb, must you drag people's exes into the current relationship, though? Why is Proverb catching strays?
It's not a stray. We're talking about the same thing.
Okay.
So now it's a, what's the bro code there?
Yeah.
Because you see
the
friends, way.
Though? Are they friends?
They might not be friends.
It's same
they
industry,
might,
but they're not
same
friends.
Same industry, yeah, yeah. But my point is, he felt whatever he felt. It's not like he felt, started feeling that when they broke up.
So are you saying he wanted it even when she was with Pro?
I mean, do you think it started when it ended? Divorce, then all of a sudden, oh, you are hot.
Dude, we could be in the same industry for 100 years, but may not see you that way until we have one conversation and everything changes.
I guess.
It doesn't mean I've been looking at you perving.
Yes,
or
of
looking
course.
At you and saying, oh, Proverb is like.
But it's not perving. The way he's doing it, it like looks like kid, real love, though. It looks like this guy truly loves this person.
Yeah.
To a point where you even go, oh, yeah. That other thing was never meant to be. This is where they were meant to be.
Okay.
So you start thinking about it. But then in the general scheme of things, with the relationships and the bro code and whatnot, what happens if your bro genuinely feels like that for an individual you're with?
And
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So do you argue? Do you fight? But there has been situations, without mentioning names, where you go, nah, man, your boy is head over heels, man.
Yeah.
He's head over heels.
Your boy is in love with your woman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't know if we can judge anyone
and
for it.
And faint for 1 minute and you'll find out.
Yeah. The day will show, he's going to get there first. Oh, sorry.
So sorry. Cry here.
Here's a shoulder.
Cry here. I'm sorry. That's just my cell phone throbbing in my face. Cry some more.
It's tricky. Because what are the rules? You know what I'm saying? What are the rules? Bro code?
I used to believe in bro code until I saw guys decide that fuck bro code.
Yeah.
So I've decided fuck bro code.
Yeah.
So I'm done with bro code. I'm at a stage where I say, if you blink too long, she might be gone.
Yeah.
That's where I am right now. No, that's where I am right now, because I've realized that, you know what? The guys you think are your friends generally wish they were you.
Yeah.
Or they wish they were with the person you are with.
Oof.
They're not necessarily friends. They're not necessarily happy for you.
They're just looking for that thing they're looking for.
You know, the happiness for you, you might be mistaking happiness for you, but grand, it's happiness. They've seen their next target.
Yes, they've identified.
You brought.
Also, there is that thing where dudes won't up until the door is open.
Oh, yes.
Oh, we can't. We can never.
Yeah.
That's beyond our level.
Sure.
Then you bring them across. Oh, what? We can?
Exactly.
Then that's their exes. You know what I'm saying?
But Tabiso was my lady. If Tabiso can rock here, so can.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's also
that was very common, eh?
Ah, my man.
Tabiso, that guy.
Tabiso was barinyana in high school. If he can rock here, Nami, I can rock here.
Then I'm just going to be with
you. Exactly.
Hey, and you... There are situations where, I don't know if you know the story about Peter Crouch when he got signed to Liverpool.
Okay.
He met the receptionist.
Sure.
At the Liverpool thingy, reception area.
Sure.
And he was smitten.
Sure.
He kept talking about her the whole day. Yo, guys, who's the receptionist?
Yes.
Oh, she's so beautiful. I think I've seen,
I want
I've
to
met the
I
one.
Want to, I want to leave her, leave her liver in a pool.
Yeah.
Of Tom.
Yo, it's a kid's show. It's a kid's show. But he did that, and then he started telling the other players.
Yeah.
Yo, I saw this receptionist.
Sure.
So the players knew what was up.
Sure.
So the players he told kept saying, yo, come tell this guy what you said.
Yeah.
Until everyone knew. Only to find out that day, Xavi Alonso's wife was filling in at the reception. So this is his new teammate. But now this guy spent the whole day spreading this message of that receptionist.
Yeah.
She is mine. So now you're like, hey, Ntwana, Hadi. But now we must be teammates.
Yeah.
But you know this guy, when he looks at my wife, he thinks Yeah, exactly. One day is one day.
Yeah.
So it just happens. She some guys just don't express it. Just, yeah. Shad his own goals.
My
there.
Dude, we're out of time. We are being shouted at.
Oh, yeah,
where can
yeah.
people catch you in action, my man? What you up to? What are you working on?
Oh, yes. I'm doing... So if you want to catch me on social media. Tabiso Comedian on all social media platforms.
Yes, sir.
Always at Shakers every Wednesday in Maboneng.
Oh,
doing
yes.
A comedy
yes.
show with Baxter Ndabalime, Extreme Comedy Wednesday. And then 3rd and 4th of November, I'm doing my one-man show.
Yeah,
that's going to be at the Bioscope Independent Cinema in 44 Stanley Mill Park. So, yeah, tickets are up online now. You can go buy the tickets, you know what I'm saying? But, yes, beyond that, check me out on social media. I always post my gigs.
Yes, sir.
And you never know. Maybe I might be on O-Ship. Very quiet in this studio right now. Silence. No one is saying a thing. Okay? It's all right.
You leave me speechless. Ladies and gentlemen, comedian Tabiso Tshongo.
Yeah, yeah.
This is... Wow! What a week. What a week. Celebrity Guest.
Celebrity Guest.
Welcome back to Wow, What a Week. Our celebrity guest is in the building. His name in isiXhosa means joy. Something he's generated in many people. But they are fans of soapies, action movies, or just rugged, heroic types. So while I sit here trying not to feel less manly, because most men would love his body, but also most women would love his body too. Please give a wild welcome to Vuyo Dabula.
Oh my God, that was very creative.
What's up, my dude?
No, I'm good. How you doing, brother?
Grand.
Yeah, no, ke sharp, wena.
Letay malaga kitso. Right?
Oh man, this guy's trying to get me to cry. That's my tune right there, yeah.
Why would you cry about your boy?
I think, you know, that's like the best kind of most perfect thing right now.
Yes, sir.
I think in my life, I think. I think, you know, just watching the little guy, you know, and interacting with him and, you know, experiencing my time with him, I think I'm learning kind of a lot about what I missed as a boy. But there's a lot of things that I'm seeing,
yes, sir.
That I'm remembering, and, you know.
Things like what, if you don't mind us asking?
But he talks a lot. He asks a lot of, you know, questions. You know, he's very passionate about his soccer. I wasn't really passionate about soccer. I was always passionate about, you know, boxing and what have you. But I'm kind of getting that enthusiasm,
yes,
you know, that I may have missed about myself. And I'm getting all of that... just that youth and just freedom, you know, to be, you know, you, without any other things that we need to kind of be.
What are your hopes and dreams for your little boy?
He just needs to be himself.
Yeah.
He just needs to be confident and be himself, pursue whatever it is that he wants. You know, I call him my twin. But
so on a six peg.
actually he's very active,
yeah,
but he's got his mother's mind as well. He's okay. Very intelligent.
Oh yes, very, yes.
You know, he's got the best of both worlds.
Let's talk about little you though, growing up in Mafikeng. What are your fondest memories of growing up in Maftown?
I think we were like back when I was growing up, we didn't really have money or anything like that. But you know, we were kind of, you know, getting by. But we were that one family with the television.
Oh yes. Was it a Blaupunkt? Was it a Blaupunkt?
I can't tell you.
With that orange thing for chewing.
Yeah, yeah. Like you've got to go in. It's not as easy as
and
what we have now.
And you were the remote.
Yeah.
When your dad wants to watch the news,
You've got to go, Lihura Langwanako is wrong, yeah.
Exactly.
It's like 100 meters from, you know, just a few meters from the TV.
In the room divide.
It's like right there, right? But you've got to go change the television.
Yeah.
So I remember, you know, the friends that, you know, would come and, you know, we'd watch like our favorite shows.
Oh, so you were the you were the kids on the street with the TV.
With the television.
So what's your TV called?
Yeah,
we had the same problem for a while.
Yeah.
And we're told don't sit on the couches, you must sit on the carpet.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
By the time
we're
done, the carpet has sand.
We got it. Like we got it. Well, we didn't have to be told. We actually got it. We just, you know, went in there and the kids would just sit there by the, you know, on a carpet.
Yes, sir.
And you know, watch whatever show it was. But I think yeah, I enjoyed those times with my friends and what have you, and just the freedom to be kind of you and without necessarily having to kind of play to anything, kind of character or fit in,
or being able to leave home at 7 in the morning and they only see you in the evening, but they know you're safe wherever you are.
Oh no, it wasn't like that with me.
Oh, so it wasn't.
No. They I had to be at home at a certain time.
Oh shit.
Yeah, yeah. Like they always knew where I was.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that's why the whole TV thing was a good thing, because
it kept you there.
It kept me there.
Ah, yes.
Yeah.
Because we always lament with my friends that if our parents actually knew the number of kilometers we traveled in one day just to go play somewhere, whether you're walking or you're on your bicycle, they'd probably have a heart attack.
No, it wasn't
because
the case with me.
We traveled.
Yeah.
Just we lo dlala somewhere.
No.
Or we hear there's a pretty girl somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, we travel just to go past their house and hopefully you see
what
her.
What age group is that?
We're kids.
What age group was that?
Between grade 3 and grade 7.
Because I was a late bloomer with the ladies still.
Hey, but nah.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, is that why you're like, I'm on
I was like 21. Yeah, I was like 21 when I was like, okay, what's up?
I heard there's a thing called a girl.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was hectic. I mean, I grew up in a cocoon. Like, it's like a very protective environment. Yeah.
But things weren't easy at home.
Safe. Yeah, look, I mean, things were not necessarily easy. Later on, my parents, separated.
Mm.
And, things were left to my mother to kind of, take care of things.
Mm.
So things even got a little bit tricky with school uniform, shoes.
So you're how old at this stage?
Fresh. I've got an issue. Mm. I think there's a psychological thing probably. I don't remember exactly.
Oh, yes. Hey, maybe you blocked
some
it off.
People
maybe
do can.
It off.
Yeah. Probably. And that's a very to no surprise, I think that's like a go-to thing.
Mm.
I'm sure, if you don't really appreciate thing, whatever it is that you may have experienced, you kind of...
So when things are tricky, but you're also a child at the time, what was your understanding of this trickiness and how bad or worse things are?
It's like, the world is unsafe.
Mm.
The world is... I think that's where, you kind of formulate, how you get to see the world.
Mm.
And I think, I saw a world of lack.
Mm.
I saw a world of, it wasn't safe, so you kind of retreat to kind of... How do I put it? I think it's you just want to protect yourself at all times.
Mm.
You're not free to be yourself. You're kind of preempting everything, filtered, with how you see the world, filtered with that with the world that you're living in.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm.
So yeah.
So mom has to obviously pick up pieces.
Yeah.
And raise you.
As they always do.
Absolutely.
It's the story of most of our lives. Yeah.
It is wild, because often when I speak at schools and they ask me my role model, I tell them that my role model is your average black African woman. Mm-hmm. Because of how much they can do with next to nothing and how much time they put into everything.
Yeah.
She'll wake up at 4 or 5 in the morning to make sure the kids are ready for school, get herself ready, make sure that Letaima has eaten or had his porridge, go to work, come back in the evening, cook for you, cook for the family, cook for the, make sure the kids are in bed.
Yeah, yeah. And we don't leave home until we're like 21. Yeah. So that is happening for years.
Every single day.
Yeah, every single day. Yeah,
that's the average life of your average black African woman.
Yeah, yeah.
So now for me, those are my heroes. Those are the heroes that we ought to be looking up to.
Yeah.
How was the relationship with Dad in that period?
When they separated? I mean, you know, for a young man, you know, at the time, I think your father is a hero, you know, to you. And I see my son, you know, he thinks I'm this angel, this hero, you know, you know, he's going to get my approval all the time.
True.
And I'm, you know, kind of remembering that right when I watch him. And I'm like, oh my God, I just, you know, I got to listen to him and, you know, spend time with him and whatever it is, you know. Honestly, I missed that. I missed it. I see now, you know, spending time with the little guy, that, you know, how he appreciates that. And it comes natural to him to want it, to seek it out. And I think luckily there's somebody there, which, you know, I think I didn't have. So that's not what you asked. You said, how was the relationship?
Yes.
I think, it was a bit tricky. Yeah, because they were, you know, he stayed, you know, he didn't stay with us, obviously. And so I didn't get much time to spend time with him, or opportunity to spend time with him, But interestingly enough, I still saw a hero in him. You know, I still wanted to spend time with him and, you know, have time.
And I think that yearning, it never goes away.
It doesn't go away. You've got to deal with it.
You have to deal with it, but also maybe, especially in your mind as a child, reconcile what might be a conflict. Especially if things might not be okay between mom and dad because of dad, but he's still your hero. You still want to spend time with him, and you still understand that kiletaima, regardless of what anyone else might say, still kiletaima.
But I didn't, like, you've got a very, very incisive, you know, way of seeing it for that time. But I didn't see it. I didn't comprehend.
Yes, yes, yes.
Maybe I blocked it away or
compartmentalized it.
That's the word. Maybe a freaking meme. Anyway, yeah. So you put it in a box, right? Yeah. You put it in a box. You put it in a compartment.
Yes, sir.
And, you know, because you don't want to deal with it, I think.
Sure.
The most important thing will resonate with you. You know, I think the most important thing for me was, you know, this great hero that I have, that's a father, and I'm not seeing any of his mistakes or anything like that. You know, I need that vision of him.
Yes, sir.
That version of him, that the only version that I only know, you know, the only version that I know.
Yeah.
And but, you know, he's not there.
True.
You know, and I'm trying to figure out, even though I'm trying to figure it out, like, why he's not here, I just don't, like, for me at that time, I don't understand why he's not there. Yeah, for some reason. It's very clear that they separated, and I know exactly why they, you know, I saw it, I experienced it. It was a bit of a violent sort of vibes there. But at the same time, I'm not dealing it, dealing with it accordingly.
Mm.
I'm not adding up the, you know, the numbers correctly.
Yeah, it's not mathematicking.
It's not mathematicking. Yeah. This is somebody balance me here. I still want this man.
There's still a hero here.
There's still a hero here. Yeah, For some reason, I can't explain it. And that's why I feel it's so important to be there with my son, because it seems like it's everything. And it's like the holy, you know, grail for a young man. You know, he's 9 now, so I don't know what time, you know, what year, you know, he's going to start vilifying me.
Until then...
Continue being
the steering.
It's gonna,
How did mom and dad's relationship affect your relationship with women?
With women?
Yeah. Especially given what you saw, what you experienced.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's the violence or the love or anything else that you might have experienced.
Yeah.
Often how we relate with the opposite sex is based on what we've experienced seeing, either with our folks or just male role models in our lives.
I understood it to be wrong, and, you know, not intellectually.
Sure.
You know, emotionally it had like an impact on me. So I think I never wanted any woman to go through that, you know. I think the best version of, you know, my violence, in a way, for lack of a better way of putting it, with my ex-wife, you know, at the time she was my wife, I shouted, you know, we were in a disagreement, and then I shouted, and... you know, mid argument, I saw myself. You know, there was a bell in my head, like, oh hey, what's happening? What are you doing?
Dial it back a bit.
Dial it back, and then I started, you know, talking calm.
How did you respond at that moment when you snapped?
You know, we were kind of, it was escalating.
Oh, yes.
The more I shouted, she, you know, she was, you know, she was pushing as well. And like any other human being.
Dude, if you shout at me, I'm keeping the, I'm going to shut the fuck up. This is me.
Nah, man. I'm like the chillest person anyway.
Yeah.
So. Fresh. You like how many kgs on me? Catch me with one, no, I'm gone.
My man, there'll be 130 kgs of me saying, sorry, Gaddafi.
My goodness, it's funny. Yeah, so I think when I come down, she kind of, you know, she came down as well. And it was quite interesting to see as well that, you know, we were at each other's necks. And the moment when I, you know, calmed down, she also just came down and we started talking some sense.
Because I know generally you don't want to talk about that era of your life.
Like I don't want to, but I'm like kind of also in a stage, at a stage where I feel like sometimes, you know, if you've got a bigger voice, you kind of have to sort of open yourself in a way, because there's a lot of people, there's no difference between, there's a lot of people who are going through the same, same old thing that I'm going through. And you kind of, if they're looking up to you as well, it means a lot for them to find out that, oh, okay.
When you say that, that a lot of people going through what you're going through, what are you going through? you went there. I'm just returning your energy.
You know, I mean, I think there's a lot that I'm going through. Mm. You know, I played a character for a very long time, you know, Gaddafi.
Yes.
And, you know, I felt like for an artist, for a creative, you can't, play the same thing for a very long time. And I think basically what I'm trying to say is, you wanna get to a point where you are challenged all the time, you know, as an artist. You wanna be in that space where your creativity is kind of challenged. You are growing, and playing this character for a very long time that I did, I fell into a very comfortable space where I kind of neglected, you know, the things that you need to do to kind of prepare to get into character and to, you know. So I think I got into a very boring space and it kind of rubbed off my spirit, my soul, in a very uncomfortable way, you know, and very in ways that I felt like, okay, now I'm questioning my integrity as an artist, and that went on for a very long time. And I felt like, and then that's when I pulled back. When I pulled back, you know, there were other opportunities that I was, you know, I was excited about, you know, doing different other different things, and I got to do, you know, a few things here and there, and then, you know, when I thought, okay, cool, things are picking up and I'm, you know, I'm working, I'm doing different things now. I got shot, you know, botched hijack. Couldn't use, you know, be myself, couldn't go to the gym, couldn't do anything, basically.
Where were you shot?
I was shot in the shoulder. I caught like, you know, 3 in my shoulder.
Jesus.
A matter of fact, the incident when it happened, I kind of, you know, moved my head away and then, you know, put my gas, my foot on the gas, you know, to move away from the situation. And if you look at, you know, I think I may have posted it actually, one of my posts on Instagram, there's a bullet hole where my head
would have been.
Yeah. So, close shave with, you know, with death. I was able to drive myself to the hospital and everything, got, you know, treated and what have you. And
as you're driving yourself to hospital, what are you saying to yourself? What conversation are you having with yourself? Or with God even?
I know I got hit, right? Because I felt it, like, you know, scapula. You know, the doctors say it's a hairline fracture. So it didn't really break it. It's just, you know, fractured it a bit. I felt that hit. And when they say when you get shot, if it's soft tissue, you can't feel it until your body tells you, okay, cool, I can't do this no more because I'm injured, right? But then how I knew I got shot was, you know, the scapula getting fractured, you know, by the shrapnel, the bullet. So I got, knew I got hit. I felt like a small trickle of blood on my back. And I think, you know, that's when I started, you know, kind of panicking, but at the same time thinking, okay, but it's a small trickle of blood, right? And my heart kind of gave an irregular beat.
Jeez.
And then I remember thinking...
So you were
thinking,
in a movie.
I was in a movie. So I remember thinking to myself, hey, listen, you need to calm yourself down.
Yeah.
Small trickle of blood and you're not feeling any dizzy. So calm yourself down. And I think immediately after saying that, I felt, you know, my heart rate, you know, getting back to normal. And then I got myself to the hospital. Got there, parked the car on the ambulance bay. Remember thinking, but what if like a real, you know, because I'm still walking and everything. Yeah. What if a real case comes, backed off and parked elsewhere?
Dude, 3 bullet
yeah.
wounds. You are the case coming
took,
in.
Yeah, yeah, took, taking out. Yeah, like I know, but I'm like, you know, breathe. I'm like, you know, moving, you know, normally. I took my car keys, wallet and everything. Called my brother, called, you know, my neighbor, called, you know, another
friend. Did you think you were going to die?
I only thought I was going to die when a guy pulled the gun out and he cocked it and pointing at me.
Jeez.
I thought, okay, this is happening.
Yeah.
But, you know, moments afterwards, as I'm driving away, I'm like, okay, I'm not a ghost yet. I'm still alive, so we're doing this. We're getting to the hospital. It's okay. You know? Yeah, yeah. And they're gonna, no, they're not going to catch up.
Did they shoot because you drove off?
I think that's what... That's,
or do you think they were going to shoot anyway?
Look, I mean, if you're going to shoot anyway, you're going to cock the gun. You're going to breach the gun when you're inside your vehicle.
True.
You're not going to come out and then cock it and let me see what's about to happen.
Jeez.
So you letting me see what's going to happen is telling you telling me that I must get shocked and freeze. I must comply. You know. So if I don't comply, you get irritated and whatever, and then you pull the trigger.
You walk into ER, but you still get off. You know what I mean? The bottom line is, yes, Vuyo Dabula has been shot.
Yeah.
But just the walking into this ER as this TV and movie star.
Yeah.
Are they shocked to your shot? Or are they shocked that, oh shit, I can now get an autograph?
No, I think they're shocked. It's like, oh, it's really him. Like, it's like a whole movie. That's He's what been I'm shot, yeah.
I mean, it must be a mind
they
fuck.
They associate,
to watch you walk in and you've been shot.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, as a thespian, obviously you pull deep somewhere into like some sort of like depth.
Yes.
And then you can give a character, right? And I mean, I don't blame people that, you know, might see you and think that you're that guy.
Yes, you know.
But I'm not that guy. Maybe when they saw me, that's like the kind of feeling that they had, or that it's this guy, it's you know, he's a bad boy. He got shot. This is happening and what have you. But I didn't even register that. In fact, I just the way I was calm. There was a dude, there was a white dude, you know, there was a group of people between me and the nurse in front of them, and I was behind them, and I just calmly said, I just sorry, I just got shot.
Jeez.
But I wasn't hyperventilating or anything like that. I was very calm. I just got shot. And then there was a guy in the group. He just, you know, he jumped up and he turned around and he was like, Jesus, bro, why are you so calm? You got shot. And I don't know. I just said, hey, listen, I seem to be okay. just, you know, deal with the with the shrapnel in my body.
Do you go for counseling about that incident?
No, I haven't.
Do you feel you should?
I definitely have to. I think I need to unpack. I need to definitely unpack.
How has it affected your relationship with mortality and just life and living and, and the life you are living?
Yeah. I just definitely there's a, you know, there's...
Like you appreciate life more?
I definitely do appreciate life more. And I think, you know, there's a reason for, you know, time that I was given. But, you know, I think, you know, just immediately after the incident, I just kind of felt... There's a way you feel kind of invincible.
Sure.
Yeah, you feel like
it'll never happen
to me.
I got
shot. You know, I got shot and I lived through it. There's a machismo that comes with that. There's a thing that comes with that.
Are you saying you're quarter to releasing a rap album?
I got hit 3 times. I took it with a smile, whatever. I'm not gonna go there. But like, yeah, it just things do happen.
Sure.
And then, you know, you see how, you know, South Africa is an incredibly, I think it is a violent
We have a violence problem. Yeah.
So I think you see things happening.
Yeah.
And then you see how close you were.
Mm.
Yeah.
Did you cry about it at any stage?
Nah.
Mm.
Nah. It's very, very, you know, suspicious after the incident.
And suspicious as in what? As in you watch your back more now?
Yeah. Look, at the time.
Or you suspect it was a hit. But maybe it wasn't a hijacking.
I did think it was, but, you know, I wasn't followed going into the street.
Mm.
And, you know, whatever happened, like, after, like, quite a while.
Sure.
You know, when I drove into the street.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Let's change angle a little bit.
Yeah.
Just talking career. You, at some stage, had to choose, I think, between Queen, Sono, and was it Generations?
Yeah, yeah.
Take us through that period in your life.
Because
you're in a career where, one, you're living literally gig to gig. Generally, you guys don't have like gigs where you know I'm set for life or that I can get a bond and I'll be fine for 10 years.
Absolutely.
There's almost uncertainty all the time. But you're also in an industry where some productions are selfish and will say to you, if you're working with us, you can't work with this other production.
Yes, yeah.
So take us through just...
I think, you know, when I joined Generations, they were a lot different from what they may have been in the past.
True.
They were a lot more relaxed.
Mm.
So it wasn't so much of a choice, really, when Queen Sono came by, you know. I literally could do both.
Yes. Yeah. So why did you have to choose?
That's what I'm saying. Mm. It wasn't much of a choice.
Mm.
Yeah, because I could do a lot of things. I did Five Fingers for Marseille when I was in Generations.
Mm.
It was a lot different for me when I was there. They kind of, you know, they did let me do
other stuff.
My thing. Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm. Last month, Phil Impela tweeted, Vuyo Dabula joining Uzalo is wild for me.
Uh-huh.
Nothing against Uzalo. I just hate that we live in a country where actors have to take any job to survive. Vuyo is a leading man. I wish he could be doing movies and series. What are your thoughts on a tweet like that?
Oh, that's a sweet thing to say. I think, yes, I shouldn't shoot myself in the foot, right?
You were shot 3 times, man. You can shoot yourself wherever.
Oh, fresh. I think to an extent he is artistically for myself without judging anything.
Yes, sir.
That's where the industry should go.
Mm.
And I've always said that, you know, the A-listers right now are soapy actors.
Mm.
I don't know if that, if the industry is changing now with, like, you know, your streaming, your big streaming giants like your Netflix and what. I don't know if that's, you know, with the audience and fans. I don't know if their psyche is moving towards, where we should be, where film projects are producing A-listers.
Sure.
Certainly we need to go there for business, for everything. We need to actually get there for the world to actually take us seriously. Because elsewhere in the world, movie stars, you know, those are the A-listers.
Absolutely.
You don't have, I can't remember all your soapy actors, like your Ridge,
Yeah, there was a hierarchy. There was like a pecking order.
So, you know, we don't know much about your soapy world in America, unless you know that's your thing.
Yeah.
When we talk about the industry in America, you know, immediately you think about your Denzels and your Jamie Foxx, your Will Smith and what have you. Those are the A-listers and what they do.
Sure.
When you come this side, you know, I got to get on Uzalo, I got to get on Generations for me to be big. I was doing so much even before. Generations is actually what, like 7 years?
Into your career.
Into my career.
Yeah.
Yeah. Up until then, I've done so much more that people do not necessarily remember me for. And I get surprised when people remember me for some of the stuff that I did before Generations. It goes to show you, you got to get into a soapy. You got to get into a daily. And that's the nature, the complexion of the industry in South Africa.
So we need to remember our ecosystem that we're functioning within before we compare it to the US system, for instance.
Yes.
Is that what you're saying?
I think we need to be cognizant of that. Mm. But at the same time, we need to push to a level where they are. Because the talent and the infrastructure and everything, the technical savvy is there.
Mm.
Everything is there.
Sure.
To create like an industry that's very similar to, I think, America, where A-listers are film people.
Yes.
And TV dramas and whatnot, not soapies.
Mm.
We're like Days of Our Lives.
Sure.
We're like hyping Days of Our Lives instead of... where we should be. We've got the talent, we've got the integrity. We need to look at ourselves, search our souls, and you know, start working towards
If you could change anything outside of what you've just said now, if you could change anything about our industry in terms of film and TV, what would that be? What would happen? If it was up to you, what would change?
Yeah, if it was up to me, I would say bums on seats.
Mm.
You know, people don't go to watch a movie because, you know, Paramount or, you know, Focus produced it. They go watch a movie because Will Smith is in it.
Yes.
That's the business, you know. And, you know, Will Smith has the luxury to do whatever he wants to do in between projects. He can take as much time that he needs to debrief from one character and then go play the other character. It's very important.
Or take a year to prepare for the
role. For a role, which is also very important. It's very integral when it comes to, you know, an actor's process.
Sure.
It's very important. It's part of what should be happening.
Sure.
Yeah, so I think... you know, in short, pay the guys, the artists, the people that actually, you know, get people to come and watch your show.
Yes, sir.
Let, you know, just try and balance that equation. And, make it possible for people to be, like you were saying, you know, to live, to live like, you know, like adults, and to, you know, afford their homes and their nice.
Yeah, make a living, not living from
paycheck to paycheck.
From role straight to pocket.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, where you can't even save.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing.
That doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense.
That's a billion rand. Industry.
It doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
That you guys
need to have
sadly, in our minds, because you're on TV, you must be rich.
Yeah.
In our minds, because you're on whatever production, I know you must have money.
And it's a select few, that's the people that are in the industry or related to somebody in the industry.
Sure.
We get to see live
sure.
what it means to be an actor in South Africa.
That time, majority of actors don't even own a car.
Absolutely.
Not because they don't want a car. They can't afford it.
They can't afford it.
Or they can't take the risk because you don't know if you're going to, in a year.
And somebody's worried right now because they haven't been able to pay.
The next installment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That I can guarantee you.
So how rough is that on your mental, that's the industry you're in?
I don't know how to answer that question. You bum, you. Look, I mean, that's an experience that you know, without a doubt, you're going to go through.
Mm.
And I've been in the industry for a very long time, which means... as a man, you know, we've got to provide, we've got to do this, that for you to be considered, you know, you've got to tick the boxes as well. Without anybody, you know, looking at you and saying you've got to do, you tick the boxes as well. If you're not able to tick those boxes, I can't take my child to school. I can't do this, I can't afford this car, I can't do this, then it's you as a man. You know, you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't protect. And I think that's a big thing, because that's like the foundation, that's like the fountain of everything. You know, as a man, you need to be able to do this and this and this and this and that. You can't do it, then you question yourself as a man. And if you question yourself as a man, then that means that you can't get to a point where you, because it's a mental thing.
It is.
You can't get to where you
I'm asking.
If you, you can't get where, you know, point A to B, where you need to be, if you doubt.
Sure.
You know, what's actually an essential part of you, your essence.
How do you keep yourself sane?
You gotta, you know, some of it is luck, you know, support system. If you're lucky enough to have, you know, good friends who understand the fields, the terrain, the environment that you're working in, you will get some good support.
And where do you turn to at your lowest?
Oh, my king. Lowest? Like real lowest, when, you know, motivation is gone, all the, you know, motivation videos, all, everybody is gone. You know, when people kill themselves, they're like all by themselves, right? I tend to myself. Yeah. I just can't, you know. You're going to lose, and then what?
So how bad has it gotten for you, if at all it's ever gotten bad?
What do you mean?
Whichever, just in your life generally, either as an actor or as a man or as a human being, where were things at their worst for you? And what do you think carried you through that moment?
I think...
because people look at our lives and they think everything is hunky-dory.
Yeah.
Home naughty.
Yeah.
That we're living the life. But half the time, you the only reason I'm looking the way I am and you're seeing me is because I chose that today is not the day I'm ending it all.
You know what I mean? You never.
I decided that today is the day I hang on.
And you
but
never
people
know.
Never see it because you never talk
you,
about
you
it.
You never know. I think that's a, you know, people get desensitized when they see you on film, on TV. They get desensitized to you, to your humanity, to you as a human being, right?
You're an object.
You become that. And I think it would be a lot more encouraging to them if they finally figured out that we're the same, you know.
Or if anything, you're probably going through way more than they'll ever go
through.
You
will never know.
Yeah,
never exactly. know, because I don't tell, I don't say. So I mean, I've been like, you know, proper rock. You know, we touched on it, like, you know, on, you know, we spoke about, you know, not being able to provide or protect, and, and that questions your man, you as a man. And I've been there where, and I'm questioning who I am as a man and as a person, and I'm thinking, oh my goodness, like I'm so old. Yeah, haven't really, you know, done as much as, or nearly as close to where I should be.
Yeah, what do I have to show for my
age? What do I have to show for my age and being...
And it's a real struggle.
In the industry, yeah. So I think, you know, I might get stoned or whatever. You know, but there's a lot of people who are going through, real people that are going through these real situations. Second part of your question is what, you know, what pulls me through. Just, again, it's just me, you know, it's just me, because everything falls away. You know, you can trust, you know, honestly, and I don't want to disappoint anyone who's religious and spiritual. But there's a lot of people who've prayed, and yet here I am. You know, here you are, but you've prayed. You've gone every...
You've done everything.
You know, spiritual... You've tried...
And you're a nice person and you bother no one.
You're not trying to...
And
you
still
know,
your shit is falling apart.
And everything is falling apart. So I think, you know, at the end of the day... you left with yourself to face yourself. I don't know, it's a very interesting thing. Like, I can, you know, and I used to be, you know, deep, you know, Christian, read my Bible and everything, and, you know, that whole thing. You know, African spiritualism as well, traditional beliefs. But at the end of the day, my experience, my truth now, what I understand faithfully is that if I don't get up, if I don't do what I gotta do, then nothing's
gonna happen.
Nothing changes, So I often where I have no answer. There was a time I would say, God, if you're there. And now I can't even say that. This is crazy. I don't know.
Do you feel he's forsaken you?
Honestly, I don't know if he's there. I think black people are some of the most leading in terms of worship. You know, we've got a swag about it. We've got songs we've produced.
Dude, we're more passionate about it than the people who beat it into us.
Yeah. And now, you know, who's struggling the most? Is it the people that worship the most, the best at it? Or is it the people who beat it into them? I'm not trying to, you know, but that's my personal question. These are my personal questions. That's my journey. You don't have to think about it. It is what it is.
We are running out of time, but we're going to play a quick game. It's called Wow Game.
Okay.
First one, wow, you are my son. When was that moment where you're like, geez, this is my son. I've given birth to myself here with Kito.
Oh, man, that's, you know, when I cut the umbilical cord.
Yeah. Well, what was it about that moment that you realized that this is my son? Was it the six-pack as you were cutting the umbilical cord? I was like, damn, this kid is swole.
He's a special kid. He came out in the same day that, you know, his mother's birthday.
Yeah.
So, like, I think immediately when that happened, I was like, okay, all right.
Yeah.
You're an interesting dude.
Sure.
You're going to show up at this, you know. So I gotta have money every time this this time of the year
yeah.
for you and your mother.
I'm gonna time you.
Yeah.
Wow, what a twist! Maybe it was an unexpected casting. Tell us about the twist in your career, where it's a casting you never expected and it happened, and you got the gig.
Oh my goodness! I just. I think generations.
Mm.
Yeah, mm. yeah, yeah. It was prime time, and you know, we've got a way of playing gangsters in, mm. you know, in the country. You mm. know, there's a poetry that comes with it. There's a language that's a tao.
Yeah,
you know, and you know, I'm all the way from Mafikeng. You know, mm. I speak like proper Setswana and everything, sure. and. And I was like, how was I going to do this? And mm. I came in, I did my thing. Mm.
But you kicked ass at it, though.
I took an opportunity, and I did a lot of research.
Yeah.
Looked at how these guys at that level.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
But they're all charming and very nice and very calm, you know, mm. yeah. Most of them. Yeah.
Wow, what a wrong turn. Any mistakes you've made that you look back and you're like, oh, wow?
Actually, I'm not a dweller in that. Eh?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't dwell in. In fact, I think, you know, when you make mistakes, it's pretty much you getting somewhere.
Mm.
So if you don't make mistakes, then you don't get to deal with, you know, what you need to learn about yourself. I think I don't mind mistakes mm. all that much.
Sure.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. So I can't really think of anything that sure.
That sticks out.
Yeah, that sticks out.
Wow, what a reality check.
Oh my goodness, what a reality check. Career-wise, or?
It's up to you, whatever it is. It might have been at crash when you realized that, oh, if I eat half my food on the way to crash, I'm going to be hungry late. whatever the reality check is, dude, it's your life, your career, you know? Because that was one of my reality checks. I'm telling you the story because it happened to me.
It happened, yeah.
We'd get picked up in this E20.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And because
yeah.
I was a little plump kid, I'd eat half of my lunch on the way to crash.
Yeah.
And then at break time, I'm like, oh shit, we must still eat again.
I think, you know, reality check for me was, you know, having come on, you know, Generations, becoming yeah. a big star.
Sure.
You know, yeah. The industry as it is.
Mm.
You know, one moment you're doing something great.
Sure.
And one moment you have to do something.
Oh, yes.
You know, to eat. And the funny thing is, if you're not in a position of power, you get to learn. Or I'm just an actor. I'm not Vuyo Tabuila or Gaddafi. I'm just an actor in this.
Gaddafi stays at the SABC.
Yeah. Gaddafi stayed at the SABC.
Vuyo Tabuila must still go
and
hustle for the next meal.
For the next meal, yeah.
Wow, what a physique. Which dude has a body you're like, damn, I've got work to do here?
For me, Bruce Lee will always be...
Dude.
Bruce Lee will always...
Like zero fat, eh?
Absolutely.
Zero
and fat. And functionality of yes. his physicality is yeah. like an athlete. Yeah. It's yeah. functional. It's, he's able to do things with it.
Able to
he's
move.
He's not heavy. He's able to move, yeah. If he slap his woman's ass, then, you know. I don't know why I said that, but yeah.
Wow, we're there. Wow, what an ass.
Yeah.
Who has a hot ass that you...
Oh my gosh.
You said ass, so.
You have to do that?
Yeah.
I have to answer that.
Yeah.
Look at you, man. You're not acting like the same, you know, fresh when you're like, yo, no, I can't shout at you. I can't do anything because you got to. Now you're ordering me to answer a question. There's a whole bunch, eh?
Tell us there's the one.
The one, eh?
Yeah.
Tabuti.
Mm.
Tabuti, yeah.
Tando's ass.
Yeah, yeah.
With or without
I
the lingerie?
Think it's nice. Yeah?
Eh? Eh? With or without the lingerie?
Look at me thinking carefully.
Yeah. Listen very carefully.
The lingerie is nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lingerie is nice, right? No? I heard that, yeah.
It's your interview, bro. I just work here.
The lingerie is pretty good. Yeah. It's nice. She's doing good for herself.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Yeah. But she doesn't have to have the lingerie.
On.
I mean.
Yeah. And it looks flimsy enough to just.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my God, I'm in trouble.
Vuyo tubula, tubula, tubula.
Yeah. You gotta shoot straight.
My dude,
uh-huh.
You're an incredible talent, man.
Uh-huh.
And I'm hoping that your life story encourages, especially a lot of men out there.
Absolutely.
To not only embrace your masculinity, whatever that means, but also to try to always do good and be a good person. Because often we think being good or being nice or being soft means you're not a man anymore, mm-hmm. or that now you've become soft. You know what I mean? And I'm hoping your story, your journey will inspire many others out there to, yeah, pull yourself up by your bootstraps and just get shit done that you need to get done.
Mm.
That love your kids, spend time with your son. You're his hero. You spending money getting him a mini 4x4 probably means less to him than you spending an hour with him kicking a soccer ball. But a lot of the time we want to throw money at them as opposed to spend time with them.
Mm-hmm.
So seeing you light up as we spoke about Kitso for me was like, wow. You know, because a lot of us firstly can't afford the time because we're working. But even when we can afford the time, it's never moments that matter with our kids.
Mm.
So I'm hoping that Kitso will get the best of you since you were not able to get the best of your old man. And that because of that, he'll become an even better dad than mm-hmm. the dad you're trying to become to him. So,
yeah.
So thank you for your story, man.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. I think, you know, I remember my father as well, the lot of positive things about him. And, I talk to him.
Mm.
Now and then, I look at Kitso and I tell him, hey, listen, we're doing good.
Sure.
We'll be okay.
Mm.
Because we all make mistakes.
Yes.
He made his mistakes.
Mm.
I made my mistakes.
Mm.
So you learn as an older man to pardon your father.
Sure.
So, pardon his mistakes. Mm. You understand when you go through it. And that's why I'm able now, when I'm with him and things are going well, I do now and then say, hey, we're doing good. We're getting there.
Yes, sir.
You know, because it's a thing.
It's a journey.
I'm sure it's a thing for him.
Mm.
He sees, he's watching.
Yes, sir.
And I want him to be proud of me on that level.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
My dude,
as a father.
Keep climbing, keep fighting. And until we're in a box and 6 foot under, you know, we fight on.
Yeah, thank you so much, man.
Ladies and gentlemen, Vuyo Tabula is about to leave the building. Recently, we've had to deal with a number of uncomfortable levels, but it's the high temperatures, rainfall, wind speeds, or anxiety when seeing the international headlines. So here at What a Week, we'd like to wish you calm, or rather peace of mind, body and spirit, and wishing you all a wow week ahead. Shout out to Amp Studios for housing us, Africa Podcast Network, Pezulu Works for the cinematography, our audio imaging specialist, Otis the Flow Fraser, and our guests, comedian Tabiso Mhlongo and actor Vuyo Tabula, creative director Krivesh Mohan, and show producer Keletso Modisa King. Email us at wow@africapodcastnetwork.com, wow@africapodcastnetwork.com. Have a great week. In spite of yourselves.